This broadcast of Finding Fairways is presented by Blarney Stone Broadcasting and was pre-recorded. On this week's Finding Fairways, Jerry Coyne sits down with our co-host, the great Dan Pohl, Vardon Trophy winner in 1987, as well as a member of the 87 Ryder Cup team, two-time PGA winner and designer of the Polecat. Dan and I will discuss the upcoming PGA Tour under the new COVID situation, the compressed schedule, and having all the majors at the end of it, and what the effects may be on the tour players, especially playing without fans on the golf courses. All that and much more on this week's Finding Fairway, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Visit carlsgolfland.com and get something for Father's Day that you know he's going to love. Good morning, Northern Michigan. Welcome to Finding Fairways. Jerry Coyne in studio with this week's co-host, the great Dan Pohl, Vardon Trophy winner in 1987, and now staged out at the Polecat down in Mount Pleasant. Dan, welcome to our golf season. How are things at the Polecat? How has this whole COVID-19 thing been for you and for the Polecat?
Well, yeah, it's been slow, Jerry. And number one, thank you for inviting me back. I'm looking forward to a nice summer of talking golf and letting your listeners kind of know what my thoughts are on the game and where things are going. But it's, you know, it's an interesting time. Obviously, have a nice spring. Try to get players out here. Golf course in great shape, and we were ready to roll. And then, obviously, got great response off the Novi show. Had a lot of, you know, advanced bookings and things. And unfortunately, when the virus kicked in and everybody had to kind of change their tune, it affects everybody. I think, number one, if you're talking to any professional, you know, their shops filled with clothes, and, you know, you still have the spring stuff come in and starting to already get some of the summer apparel lines in, and all of a sudden you got nobody that can come in and buy it. You know, you can get by with some downtime on the golf side, because, you know, a lot of courses don't really kick in until, you know, mid-May to early June anyway. But when you have good apparel, you've got all the other amenities, no den open, no cart girl out, you know, you suffer in that manner. So it hits you in a lot of different places, just not just the golf.
With the latest pronouncements that the governor here in Michigan made, do you see that opening up completely for the Polecat? I know you're in a little different idea than we are here in northern Michigan because you're in Mount Pleasant, but you should have restaurant service and cart girls, what, July?
Oh, no, we actually opened the cart girls up, June 8th.
Oh, okay.
You know, that's the goal for most everybody at this stage. The den can be sent out and delivered, but not people can't sit in your restaurant. Oh, well, you can 25%, but, you know, when you're talking about some place that handles, you know, 40 or 50 comfortably, Japan in, you know, it makes it a little more difficult, and doing the best they can.
Well, I'm sure, and you also got to be very happy that Soaring Eagle is getting ready to open up as well.
They are open now. They had a soft opening for some of their bigger players Saturday and Sunday, and opened at 8 o'clock in the morning. Obviously, probably haven't seen the amount of business so far. But, you know, the funny thing is I don't think nobody really knows how many people are going to play because, you know, the schools are out. The kids will be, you know, at home or trying to figure out what they're doing. And I think the parents are trying to figure that out also. Our same guys, the members are here, they're playing every day. Our senior players that come in on, you know, like yesterday, or old folks day, whatever you want to call it, to the Tuesdays and Mondays being ladies day. But, you know, you adapt, Gary. I mean, nobody, I obviously, you know, I'm in the golf business now of running a facility, but to tell you, I'm not very knowledgeable. I've played, and I try to have to deal with the day-to-day decisions on all this, and the finances is out of my league, really.
Well, it's certainly a different time. A lot of the things that you have run instinctually at the golf course have changed dramatically under these circumstances, and hopefully the summer brings a little bit more normalcy, or whatever they want to call as the new normal for golf courses. But the main reason why we like to check in with Dan every month or so is because of his intimate knowledge of the PGA Tour. And when we return here on Finding Fairways, we will talk to Dan about the upcoming PGA Tour event, starting at a place Dan knows quite well. So that's all when we return on Finding Fairways, sponsored by carlsgolfland.com. It's time to check in with our good friends at carlsgolfland.com. Tim Coyle on the phone with me. And Tim, the opening of the Carls in Plymouth and Bloomfield Hills couldn't have come at a better time, with Father's Day right around the corner, which has got to be probably, other than Christmas, the busiest time of the year for Carls.
Yeah, it certainly is. Everybody's getting ready to, get Dad something special, and what better place? Perfect timing. Store is opening just up. Yeah.
Now, my go-to gift for my father always, because let's face it, men are hard to shop for, is golf balls. I mean, you can always buy them clubs or a lot of different stuff, because certainly Carl's has an amazing selection, but you can never go wrong with balls.
You can never go wrong. Any color, any brand, you name it, we got it. Tons of great promos going on right now from the different manufacturers, not just in balls, but, Callaway, TaylorMade traded bonuses for their newest stuff. Bushnell, rangefinders and GPS, great promotions going on. And, of course, perfect time.
Yeah, I noticed online at carlsgolfland.com, you've got a ton of golf shoes on clearance as well.
Yeah, any manufacturer, and we carry the bit, whether Dad's got a huge foot or a small one, we got them covered. Wide, extra wide, narrow, you name it.
And then one of the great bonuses during this particular time is you have free shipping and free returns.
Free shipping, free returns, that's right. Hassle-free, super easy. If you need to return something, didn't quite work out, just jump on the website, print your free UPS label, send it back on us, and we'll get you taken care of.
Does that count for clearance items, Tim?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Yes,
well,
it does.
A lot of people, they don't let you do that. You buy something on clearance, and they say that's it. Whether it fit you or not, you're stuck with it. But not carlsgolfland.com. That's such good news to know. Tim Coyle from Carl's Golfland, thanks for joining us. We'll check in with you one last time before the Father's Day rush.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right. Welcome back to Finding Fairways, presented by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne in studio with Dan Pohl from the Polecat. Dan, with the COVID virus and shutting down the tour for 2.5 months of the season, now the PGA Tour and the players have to deal with a really condensed schedule and all the majors kind of jammed in together at the end of the year. What do you think the tour players' thought process is going to be? The Korn Ferry kids didn't get their exemptions. It's kind of really a weird setup.
It is what it is, and we can, you can sugarcoat some of this stuff. I think these guys are just like anything. They'll adapt. That's what the tour is anyway. It's figuring out a schedule, figuring out, what works for you. It's not like these guys are going to be overdone and overplayed. And in fact, a lot of them, this has been a great chance for them to kind of reconnect with new kids or whatever they have, some casual golf, who knows? See, the thing is, people are making this huge ordeal about this, Jerry. But, when we used to finish in October, you didn't play again until January. So you had 2 months to kind of figure out what it was you wanted to do. Each person played, wanted to play a little bit. You could hang up the clubs for a month. Is Brooks Koepka going to be better because of this?
Maybe.
Do his therapy, all those type of things, and it might be a godsend for him. Other guys who are geared for consistent, repetitive, have a little bit more difficult time getting back into the flow. But the bottom line is a tour player adapts not only the conditions that they have to play golf course to golf course, but the conditions or the situation that, do I play 3 weeks and lay it down? Do I go and just commit to this, and this, and with the idea that I just go with it? They do have an opportunity to they missed cuts to get back into rescheduling. So I think it'd be just a mini vacation for him during our time, myself included. I usually never played all of November unless I went to Japan or somewhere like that. So I think these guys figure out years and two or three others. Do I losing, you know, dollars that way? So yes, the Corn Ferry Tour and anybody right now to get in, that's unfortunate. But I'm saying that any sarcasm, you know, is not meant in this, but it could be a whole lot worse. I to say I'm not going to cry if one of them misses a cut.
Oh, that's hardly, I don't even think it's relevant. The thing I was kind of leading up to is that, you know, it looks like most of the players are going to play most of the events. I don't know how much of that has to do with to keep up with their sponsors' commitments. I'm sure they don't like losing those dollars. And then at the end of the year, you've got what? You've got the PGA. 2 weeks later, you got the U.S. Open, and then right after that, you got the Ryder Cup. So, and then your favorite tournament, the Masters in November. So,
Personally, I think it's great.
Yeah, so do I.
Playing good. My choice words on the opening portion of it was that folks, you know, think that they're these poor guys. They got to set up a schedule and stuff. That's what I was looking at from a player's perspective. What I'm looking at is somebody who gets on a, you know, that's playing good and can move into that. The Champions Tour has done that, you know, for a long, long time.
Right.
Five major championships within about a month and a half or 2 months. And I'm telling you, if you get on a roll, that's a nice thing to do. So I think you can just sit back and say, you know, we just got to see how each individual decides to play this out and, you know, just enjoy getting back to watching, and you're ready to, you know, to see some of these guys play. You know, it'll be interesting. Has any of them changed mechanics of their swing? Has Spieth been working on? You know, I haven't been following the day to day of all this stuff.
Right.
And so it's going to be very interesting to see maybe somebody who has been struggling for a while come back when everybody's on the same page and. Or is it going to be the same guys that step up and take the momentum from, you know, a couple of months ago and just keep moving forward?
Well, quite frankly, there hasn't been a lot of golf news. I follow it on a regular basis because of the show. And really, the only players that I've heard from are the guys that played in the two TV events, right? The one down in Seminole, mm-hmm. which was, you know, I'd like to get your opinion on both of those really quickly, Dan. But, you know, Dustin Johnson, and then the only other person I heard about what's going on is Justin Thomas was pretty talkative as he led up to being an announcer during the Tiger Woods event. But just going back a little bit, had you ever played Seminole?
Quite a few times. I played in the Pro-Am portion of it, and
yeah.
I've got a very close friend that lives right on the site. And so, yes, I've probably played it 10 or 12 times.
Great golf course. Great golf course.
It's a great golf course. It's different. I mean, it's got you know, some very difficult greens that you got to know where not to miss it, or you know, your good shots have to be in the right spots, or they can turn into bad shots. I mean, there's a couple of holes there, number three, and some of those where you know if you miss it in the wrong place. But yeah, you know, I mean, that's a hard one to tell from a best ball format with the four guys that you had is who's in form. Now, I will tell you that I don't think I could be more impressed with Tiger's driving there at, you know,
Medalist.
In their match. I mean, very much under control. It might have been the weather. It might have been, you know, he didn't stretch it out and try to beat it, but he was making solid contact. You could see the ball flight was good. You know, Phil was his normal self, driving off the face and, of the earth and figure a way to make pars. But I think if you're looking at who so far out of those six or so guys that you're, you know, Tiger, I obviously have to be to give you anybody the nod at that point. The question he'll be is, you know, can he sustain the physical side of it with the amount of golf that could be played? You know, that would be the tough part of it to say if he's he's out or he's in the last few groups and he's tired and it's hot and, you know, you're playing some of these great golf courses. Can he, you know, go, you know, a major championship 2 weeks after another one?
So, well, yeah, you know, you've got the big difference.
He's smart enough. You know, if he's got to wait for the Masters, and there might be a guy that was the U.S. Open, depending on, you know, where he's at, to get ready for the Masters, he's not afraid to do stuff like that.
No, I mean, it's certainly much different getting ready to play an 18-hole match for television than it is to play the four rounds required at Wingfoot or Harding Park or Masters in November. Speaking of that, Dan, what do you feel well, we got to hold that question off for another minute because I'm sure you've got some very serious feelings about what Augusta is going to be like in November as opposed to April. Just very quickly, my other co-host, Kevin Frisch, was telling me that he happened to watch a rebroadcast of the 82 Masters, and he's like, you know, Paul was hitting it pretty good that week.
Well, yeah, when you're putting there and not, you know, afraid to go ahead and move the ball up the fairway without long grass and stuff like that, it makes it a little bit easier to beat my iron games as it's been. Made a lot of tap-in birdies and things like that. So, you know, you can talk all you want about the Masters, anybody, the driving of it, but it's very similar to a lot of the golf courses that you have to put the ball in the right spots for birdie opportunities, put them in the wrong ones, and all of a sudden you might not be able to stop it within 8 or 10 feet. So, you know, I was more impressed with my, and I don't know that over the years I was given as much credit for being as good iron player as I thought I was control. So, you know, again, when you look at the Augusta, to me, it's all about that. If you're not what, if you don't rank in the top five in putting, especially lag putting, you better be a good iron player.
Well, when we come back here on Finding Fairways, we'll talk to Dan Paul specifically about what the differences at Augusta might be between now, when it's usually held in April, and when it will be held in November. That's all back here on your Finding Fairways Network. All back here on your Finding Fairways Network, presented by CarlsGolfland.com. We're back here on Finding Fairways, sponsored by CarlsGolfland.com. Jerry Coyne in studio with the great Dan Paul from the Polecat. And Dan, in my way of thinking, and you and I talked about this a couple weeks ago, just chatting a little bit, I thought the PGA Tour missed an opportunity to be the only live sport in the arena and have taken way too long to restart. But they're going to start at Colonial, where you had a very one of your biggest wins on the PGA Tour.
Well, first, I think you got to have a lot of guts to make those decisions under the, you know, the situation that was there. I mean, I, you know, yes, they did have an opportunity, and they, you know, but do you hit the wheel that quickly and be able to, you know, position yourself as the only game in town, so to speak, without having some people, you know, kind of jump down your throat? So I don't know what the pluses and minuses of the time, you know, making decisions were. Obviously, anybody that's on the outside has noticed and recognized by the match between Tiger and Phil and them, everybody was starving for it.
Yeah.
So, you know, even sit back and say, you know, was it the right move? What is it wrong? The bottom line is now they're ready to go. I think picking Colonial as the first one is going to be very interesting because they're going to have a field of players now, even though it was an invitational in my day and, you know, limited field access. You're going to have a lot of guys deciding to play there that haven't played in quite a long time that particular event. You know, Tiger has really never played there.
Right.
Of course, you know, it was called the MasterCard for a long time, and he wasn't representing, you know, that mentality. But, you know, it'd be very interesting. You know, you said like Dustin Johnson, you know, is this a course that fits Dustin? Is this a course that, you know, would fit Rory? It's a shot maker's course. There's any doubt about that. But it does negate the link to a degree. I think if you looked at the list of winners of that particular event, it's probably got the biggest mix of Corey Pavin to myself to, you know, a cutter versus Kenny Perry, who, you know, just a draw player.
Right.
Dave Frost, all those guys, the list, Kite, Crenshaw, such a diverse group of individuals that have won at Colonial that it's, you know, it'll be very interesting to watch.
It's one of those tour stops now, though, that the shorter hitters, you know, the Steve Strickers of the world, show up and compete, and because you don't see a lot of the bombers playing. It just seems to be, you know, like Pebble and a couple other places where length is not required. But as you said, it is a shot maker's golf course. What was it that brought the best out in your game, Dan?
Iron play. I mean, bottom line is you have to be able to control not only your distance, but trajectory there. And you know, the greens are very small, maybe
right.
Either the smallest or the second smallest on the tour. Pebble and them are real close, but you got certain, you know, holes where, you know, you gotta play some mid-range irons and some really controlled short irons, just those little soft ridges like the back number two on the back. And if you throw it a yard too far, it's down the hill, and who knows what type of shot you're going to have. So it's a very diverse shot selection place. But I would say that in this deal, in the past at least, it was really where it fit in the schedule, and that, you know, mid to late May slot at the time, you know, or in some case a little bit earlier, that Bermuda grass that's notorious there, you might not get as much growth. You'd have spots that very difficult bump and runs through that stuff. If you missed greens, you had to really manufacture some shots, which that brings in the Kites and the Crenshaws of the world that have the ingenuity and the creativity to hit a lot of those shots. I think what's going to happen is you're going to see guys kind of start to figure out the golf course. Maybe the third round, some of those bigger hitters will have to gear down, you know, 15, 16, some of those. They may not be able to hit driver 14 or 15, I should say, 16 is the three par. But, you know, when you haven't played for a while and you haven't played those style of greens and you're used to hitting to these monstrous 8,000 square foot greens, now all of a sudden in there at 3,500 and 4,000 square foot, your visuals are going to have a lot different, and you're going to have to play some smart shots, not short side yourself in some of these areas. Otherwise, as we all know, it's very difficult to get it up and down.
There's always the legendary Texas winds. When you played there, when they used to have it in May, was that a factor, or usually was the weather pretty reliable, Dan?
A lot of rain usually that time of year. You know, it could move in squalls and, you know, move through fast with some wind and then calm down. So it really kind of depended where you were at on the golf course. The wind might come out of the northwest and be a little cooler, and the rain hits, and you're on holes like, say, 11, 12, 13, which now are 12 and 13 would play more into the wind, crosswinds on a lot of the holes. If you happen to play something that came out of the west, then it actually is a little bit easier because you're playing in wind and downwind. The dog legs are pretty well cut, you know, some tree lines. It's really what they do when you get out, you know, outside of that tree line, what it does.
Right.
I think the hardest guys, the drivers of the ball, is picking a good line where it doesn't run through the fairway. It's very difficult to go ahead and hit drive across on 2, 3, 4, all of those, or 5, 4 is a par 3, 5, because you go out there about 250 or 60, and the dog leg chases and narrows, so the angle becomes tough. And if it plays firm and fast, that ball is running through the fairway. Picking your line and really going with a club that gives you the widest spot to hit is really going to be critical for guys who probably haven't played there much. Of course, it makes you think for 18 holes around there.
Well, I was going to say, when you won there, you were one of the longer drivers on tour. I don't think they've changed the golf course that much. You'd know better than I did, but I was under the impression that there wasn't a move there. They couldn't expand it as much as some of these other golf courses. So even back then, was it a case where you didn't always hit driver off the first tee?
The first tee is a par 5, and they got a driver hole, and it's a nice little dog leg right par 5. So if there was a starting hole that fit my eye, that was it. I mean, I can remember just sending it down the left side. There's a bunker down the left and you just hit that and cut it. And if you cut it too much, you get in trouble with. But two, three, a lot of angles to it. I would say that on the front nine, I only drove as a driver twice, and that would be on one and number six, and that was it. Five just didn't fit to, as a long hitter. You had to ease along the river, and if you caught that tree, you're back there where you're pitching out with your third with a penalty shot. So, and then on the back nine, really 11, 12, I hit driver, and then probably 13 and 15, and that was it. So you might use the driver as a long hitter five times.
Wow.
Five, six at the most. 10, you know, keeps you from hitting. Heck, I get 3 iron off tee there. So, there's a draw. So if you can get to the par fives, though, but remember, there's only par fives there.
Right.
On 1 and 11. So for me, it was like, you know, par 70 and not being able to take advantage of my length. I think if anybody was, you know, top as a guy that you would pick to win at Columbia, would have been me.
Right.
The funny thing is when it goes back, both my wins were on par 70 courses at Firestone and Colonial. Take two par fives out of the equation and you'd think, okay, that doesn't really suit Dan's two extra par fives, gives me two shots at eagle. 70 courses that are tough, like Firestone and Colonial, really kind of brought out the iron game in me and really probably were the best challenges that I lived up to.
Very quickly, I remember, I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago, you came up to the studios and we did the show live in studio. Then we grabbed a bite to eat and we sat down at the bar and Colonial was on and you just casually mentioned that, oh, I won that tournament once. I thought it was so obvious.
I'm very casual in my demeanor anyway, Jerry. So. No good and bad of it. You win the tournament, but you beat Payne Stewart, who was one of my closest friends in any of the Texas tournaments as bad as anybody. And he had lost at Dallas the year before in a playoff. You know, there's that plus and minus of it. But, you know, we continued to be good friends from long after that, but I'll never forget standing on the dais after winning that year. The next year, standing up there, Ben Hogan to the left, Liske, Kite, Byron Nelson, all those guys out in the audience, and trying to figure out what the heck am I going to say with all these great players and the people that were there. And it may be one of the, you know, it was very humbling, but it was also one of the most nervous probably I'd ever been outside of the playing arena. It was just a great moment. But and then walking down afterwards and saying hello to Mr. Hogan and good playing. You know,
it wasn't like
he was going to spend an hour with you and talk. But you know, there was quite a feather in my hat at that point in time.
No doubt about it. When we return here on Finding Fairways, presented by CarlsGolfLand.com, Dan Pohl and I will talk about the altered PGA Tour schedule, how all the majors are going to run together, and just the mindset of what a tour pro will be like in 2020, right here on your Finding Fairways network. Brought to you by CarlsGolfLand.com, land of golf plenty. Don't forget, it's Father's Day weekend coming up, and what dad doesn't want something from CarlsGolfLand.com? All right, we're back here on Finding Fairways, presented by CarlsGolfLand.com. Jerry Coyne in studio on the phone with Dan Pohl at the Polecat down in Mount Pleasant. Dan, as we were talking a little bit in the last segment, the Masters moved to November. You know, Rory McIlroy is saying, well, maybe November is my time to win the Masters because I'm not having any luck in April. Maybe they should invite Greg Norman, too.
Yeah, well, you know, they could give a special exemption to Greg, but he couldn't even show up for the Tiger Woods match, so I don't think he'll probably, Jerry. I mean, I don't know what Augusta specifically plays like in November. You can have those squalls and the rain showers come in at Augusta in April and, you know, pretty much change the way the golf course plays from day to day. But, you know, with the sub-air system and the greens and all that, you know, my only question would be, is the ball going to carry as much? Is it November? Is it going to be a little cooler? Is it going to be the distance these guys can hit it? You know, will the fairways be a little firmer or faster? Only time's going to tell that. You know, as we were talking a little bit off air leading into it, it's going to be whether or not at that point in time, or will it be kind of a call it a lone journey around a unbelievable golf course, just look at the trees and everything else, not having anybody back on 13 and hearing those boos and roars and stuff coming through the pines. You know, that's the aura of Augusta. And, you know, will it get the same feeling for these players in November? Who knows? I mean, like I said, I haven't had an opportunity to play in the fall time or you know, actually, you know, November being an odd time to play any tournaments, but it's certainly going to be interesting to see what happens weather.
We talked about at least the first few events, all the ones in June, there will be no fans at the PGA Tour sites like Colonial. And as you said, we were talking off air, this could cause some problems for errant shots. Usually they hit the stanchions or there's areas where they can get free drops. I don't think there are going to be any stands at Colonial. Why would you spend the time and the money to put stands in when fans aren't going to be in it, Dan? I mean, from an economic standpoint, you wouldn't spend the time or the dough to do it. But we're going to see some tour players making shots from places they've never done before.
Well, there's no question about it. And you get some back pins that you want to be aggressive in. And that takes one hop and goes, instead of, like you said, hitting the bleachers or somebody, it's now 20 or 30 yards back in there. You're going to see some, if you haven't played around Colonial much, that's going to be a very interesting tactic. I know the guys play a little bit more conservative to some of those back pin placements. Now, again, we can talk to the fans and how it's the excitement and all that, because Colonial's on a small piece of property, probably less than 110 acres or so. And, you know, it's the same the way they're set up. You know, every hole on the front nine, you can basically hear or see, you know, what's going on. I've seen balls on, like, number six that are traveling right into the heavy rough or, you know, miss anywhere, hit somebody, drop, and the guy's got a shot. So it's going to be more effective to the shots coming in. The one thing, in my estimation, without the crowd is really be able to visualize those fairways a little bit better, because when you've got, you know, people lining those fairways, it's like tunnel vision, and you get a little bit better sense of those fairway lines. You know, we can sit back and wonder what's going to go through these players' minds, how they got affected by it. I think they're just going to be so happy to be out playing, and you know, maybe they're going to have to talk to their caddies more. Maybe they're going to have to, you know, really get more creative with their conversations with. I think the pairing is going to make a big difference on who you're paired with. Is there a comfort those first two rounds, kind of talking and, you know, loosening up a little bit and getting back into the season? Or is it, you know, are you going to play with two guys that won't talk to you that are walking out front? There's going to be a lot of things that'll be interesting from the player's perspective, just getting ready, all those type of things, clubhouse banner, all those things are going to be something that a lot of these guys haven't had to go through or maybe not prepared for.
Dan, it'll be great to follow up with you next month after we have a few of these events under our belt and start getting your analysis on what's happening. And we look forward to that next month. I do want to take the opportunity to have you invite listeners down to the Polecat or over or across, depending on where they're coming from. And how do they make tee times?
Well, just go to polecat.net. Right now, the golf course is in fantastic shape. I mean, we just threw our last some sand on the greens, got some rain last night. And when I say sand, we had plugged them. They're running fast and running true. Golf course overall is in perfect shape. Rates are great. So you can go to polecat.net or give us a call at 989-773-4221, and we'll take care of you.
I'm going to be down there next weekend with my son, who just became a dad. So we're going to have some Father's Day golf at the Polecat. I'm looking forward to it.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Look forward to it. Have a nice round and a nice day. And everybody who's listening, you know, hit it long, hit it straight.
Thank you, Dan. As we like to say here on Finding Fairways, brought to you by carlsgolfland.com, find a fairway of your own, stick a peg in the ground, and pound it down the middle. We'll be here on the Finding Fairways Network next Saturday and Sunday. It's time to check in with our good friend Ken Griffin at boinegolf.com. Ken, things are just getting better and better every week at Boyne Golf. Tell our listeners what the experience they can have now on your great array of courses.
Well, I mean, this is the second weekend that we're going to have all 10 courses open, all three resorts open for golf and lodging and sit-down dining.
Yes, it's one of the hallmarks, especially of resort golf, is not just playing the golf, reliving the core, reliving your round over a cocktail and a fine meal. And so are all the restaurants open now at Boyne?
Not all, but we're in the process of ramping up. You have a couple options at each, you know, both on the courses and at the hotels. We're following state and national guidelines. There's obviously additional cleaning and protocols involved. You know, we're common areas. We're asking to practice social distancing. You know, our restaurants that are open are at 50% of the seating capacity. You know, we're just trying to do things the right way so that we can bring this back and have an enjoyable summer.
As far as golf carts are concerned, what is the protocol there? Do you have to ride alone or can you ride with a friend? What is the decision there at Boyne?
Well, right now, those days are past us. It's not our decision. The two northern Michigan regions have allowed two riders per cart now. As well as the golf shops are open. Now, when you're out on a course, you're going to see social distancing on the tee boxes, no rakes in the bunkers. You just improve your lie out into the fairway. There's foam in the cups. There's no need to touch the flag. So, you know, just, you know, basically following National Golf Course owner stay-and-play recommendations.
And then last week you announced some great stay-and-play packages. I think our listeners would like to hear those again.
Yeah, well, we know that a lot of people may be concerned about traveling, and you know, if you live in Michigan, it's great. You're just a short drive from the award-winning courses. But we've got stay and play for the next couple of weeks for $88. And then through the end of the month, we have a play two nights and four rounds from $236.
Say two nights and four rounds for $236. That's through June 26th. I can't ever remember hearing a rate at Boyne like that before, Ken.
No, we don't, because you don't find the award-winning golf courses. You know, the Heather, the 2019 Golf Course Owners Course of the Year. The Inn at Bay Harbor was a Golf Digest Editor's Choice. You know, two courses in the top 100 with a Heather and a Lynx Quarry at Bay Harbor. Now, last year, we were fortunate and really humble that Forbes.com picked us the top six golf resorts in the U.S., and we were mentioned along with Pinehurst, Bandon, Kapalua, Whistling Straits, and Pebble Beach.
No, with the 10 courses, that is a better assortment, a larger assortment than any one of those resorts I've been fortunate enough to have been to, and they're great courses, but nobody has the assortment that Boyne does.
Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. Pinehurst is right there, but we stretch over a bunch of different, a little bit different terrain than they do, so all great courses, and we're just happy to be included.
Well, very briefly, Ken, it's a much better bargain than Pinehurst. I'm sorry. But it's all available. All you got to do is go to the world's best golf resort website, BoyneGolf.com. Ken Griffin, thanks for joining us. We'll be back with you next week.
Thanks, Jerry. Appreciate it.